Amen to the tech crew. Hey, you know, I want to shout out my man, Martin. Like, Martin, thanks, brother. You know, he's back there in the sound booth. He's probably terrified right now. But, you know, he was here Friday night with the Jan Johnsons, Saturday morning all day, Sunday morning right here, volunteering. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate it, brother. You know, appreciate it. And there were others, but I just saw you in my sight. We love Doug Jacoby. Douglas, longtime member, was a member of the North River Church for many years when he lived in this area, moved to Europe not too long ago. We keep in touch. I actually took him to the airport a few times a few weeks ago. Douglas has gifted this book to all of you. I feel like Oprah a little bit, you know what I mean? I just thought of that in the moment. You wanted something a little more, I know, but I, you know, that's all I got. No, but so on your way out, you all are gonna get a copy of Douglas's Lady, and it's and it's purely Douglas said, just let everybody at North River know I love him, and I'm so grateful for all the years of support for his Bible teaching ministry, and so I did put his, you know, I put his email up there. It's easy to remember. But, you know, because, you know, it's good to thank people when they do something nice for you. You know what I mean? And so I think that he would appreciate that. But do it as your own, on your own. Don't feel compelled by me. But he did mention that he is offering a trip next year. Not offering. He ain't giving this for free. Yeah, you're going to have to come out of the pocketbook a little bit on this one. But he did, you know, this is a year out. So this is October 2026. So this is whatever, 13 months from now, and thought it'd be kind of cool if a cool crew from North River could go. You know, this could be something that could be really life-changing for you to go to places like Corinth. We just read about the church in Corinth or the Smyrna, Ephesus. So something to think about, you know, put on your calendar. But from, you know, our brother Doug that we definitely love and appreciate. Amen. We did have it's been a weekend for some of us. We did have over 250 people come to the Experiencing the Presence of God weekend. And so that was really encouraging. And on Thursday night, just so you know, on Thursday night, the Longs, Jim and Lindsay Long, had us over, and Jan Johnson gave kind of a little talk for us. And I think it was called Experiencing the Presence of God in Ministry Madness, you know. And it was just a real cozy, you know, had some Thai food together. And just sat down, and she just shared. We opened up the scriptures, and it was just a meaningful time, you know, for our staff, just so you know. And there were tears shed. I mean, just felt like she just really connected with us. So it was a really encouraging weekend. Like I said, 200-something people here just diving into really how can we learn how can we add to our spiritual kind of toolbox so that we can connect deeper with God, you know, and so we wanted to talk a little bit about that and have some sharing. And I thought, you know, who could share about this weekend that came and that got a lot out of it? And so I don't know why I'm trying to give you the intro. So I'm, you know, like I'm keep, come on. Here we go. But my wife is going to share a little bit about this weekend and what she got out of it. You know, sometimes it's good to hear from another perspective. And so I was going to let my wife share about her experience.
Yeah, I got way too many things to share with you how wonderful it was. So I'm going to just try to pick one thing. And we did what is called some Bible meditation. We know how to pray, we know how to read, but I think we don't often really know how to meditate on the scriptures. Like, do we just sit and think about the scripture that we just read? Yes, definitely. But she just walked us through like a tool, kind of a toolkit of how to really meditate. Because she said the number, I don't remember, but it was a large number of how many times, especially in Psalms, that the Bible tells us to meditate on the scriptures, to meditate on God. And so really bringing a time where you interact with the living Jesus Your eyes are closed. You use your imagination because our imaginations have been baptized. That's what she said. Make sure all of our imaginations have been baptized. So now you use that imagination to connect with God. And so we talked about Jesus walking on the water. And, you know, I've read that passage a million times, but it was different. And we kind of talked through it first, just giving the option of, for example, when you think of Jesus walking on the water, you know, it's almost like he was like hovering like an aircraft carrier, just like hovering Star Wars, like across the water. But no, it was a raging sea of waves and wind and rain. So if he's walking on the water, he's got to be dodging waves, stepping over them. I mean, it's like hiking to the top of a mountain where it's arduous and hard and difficult. I never really thought of Jesus having to walk that way to get to them. And then just, you know, he saw them, and I guess it was about like a 10-mile from where he was on the mountain to seeing them struggling. And it said he saw them struggling. And so he's like, okay, how do I get to them? What's the fastest way? I just got to walk across a lake. That's what I got to do to get to them. And then, so, you know, we kind of talked this through and then closed our eyes and then read the passage very, very slowly. And she said, wherever you see yourself or whatever sticks out to you, there's no right or wrong. This might, you might do this a week from now, a month from now, as something else. Because God is inviting you always into a living passage, into a living Jesus. It's not the same every time you read it. And so one thing that really struck me, and I think a lot of people too, is she put this picture of Jesus up. Not, you know, the real Jesus, but a Jesus. I was like, wait, that's not Jesus? Because that's not the chosen Jesus? But anyway. And it was the moment when he grabbed Peter and he pulled him in to his shoulder, grown man. And he was laughing and smiling. And she talked about watching her granddaughter's like first steps across her living room floor, just like teetering, like looking to her and her mom. And they let her go. And then right before she's going to fall, like they scoop her up. And I'm like, good job. Oh my gosh. You know, you just did. But I have so often thought of Jesus was criticizing and condemning. Like, why did you doubt? Because I'm a guilty soul thinker. We all have different temperaments. That's how I think. Instead of like, oh man, that was awesome. Why did you doubt? I could have taken you even further. Next time we will. Next time when you're in this situation, now, you know, maybe Peter had that in his mind all the way up to when he was hung up on the cross upside down. Like, yeah, why did I doubt? Like, Jesus believes in me. I can do anything. Instead of a like, oh, you failed. Why did you doubt? So for me, I was just thinking about, you know, Jesus could calm a storm. Maybe Jesus could also cause a storm. Maybe Jesus knew I have a role for this guy. And he's ready. He's ready to take that step out of the boat, lower himself out. You know, what did that look like? All of that. And then how did they get back to the boat? They didn't hovercraft carry either. Were they stumbling through the waves together? You know, it just came alive. And I thought, okay, for me, I know that God has a very unique role situation, as he does for all of us. None of us are the same. And he knows when I'm ready to be challenged with the storm, and challenged to get out of the boat. And when I mess up, he is not saying, why'd you mess up? He's saying like, oh man, why'd you look off away from my face for a second? You got this. I'm so happy you tried. And that was a different Jesus I had seen just from that meditation. So that was one thing of the many.
Amen. Good stuff. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for these moments where we can hear from one another, and where it's not just about one person, it's about you, Father, and it's about what you've done through Jesus and how you've allowed your spirit to dwell within us. And it's just so powerful, so amazing. And we're just grateful to be able to experience this together today, to be able to read the passages that have given us true life And we also are grateful for the ability to have elders to come pray for this world. Father, I know for me that was very meaningful. I really almost felt like that was all we needed to do today, and just sit in silence and then just take in just what's really going on in this world that's just so hurtful and challenging. But God, you know, you haven't left us alone to ourselves, and you are with us. You dwell within us, and you call us to live the life of Jesus in this world and in the midst of this violence and chaos, Lord. And I just pray that we can draw upon you and not rely on ourselves to really live the life that you call us to. And so thank you for this opportunity. I do pray, Lord, that whatever is said, Father, is just sanctioned by you. And if wherever I'm off, Lord, just correct me and just show me where I'm off or whatever. But Lord, I just want to please you, and I know everyone sitting here does as well. And I just pray we can be humble and open and courageous and spirit-dependent instead of self-reliant. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So yeah, today we're going to talk a little bit more about the Spirit of God. I think after this weekend, it felt like, why switch topics? I mean, you know, it's just really a powerful concept, you know, just talking about the Spirit really at work in us. And I think one of the concepts that, you know, I've always heard, you know, we've talked a lot about spiritual transformation, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That is something that is very scriptural. And sometimes I know in certain circles, it even might be popular to downgrade something like that and say, well, I don't know about all that, you know, get people navel-gazing, they're just looking within and they're not going to do anything for God. And so I vehemently oppose that, just to make that clear. And I think, quite honestly, I think we've had many, many years of doing, and some of us have just hit walls and we don't even know what to do anymore. We're burnt out spiritually. And I think we've got to learn how to talk about how God's Spirit works within us and works through us without fearing things. And I just saw this quote, just as, you know, kind of lighthearted. The Holy Spirit has long been the Cinderella of the Trinity. The other two sisters may have gone to the theological ball. The Holy Spirit got left behind every time. I mean, you know, and here's the deal. All of us Bible-believing Christians, I know we're born again. I know we are. We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves. We are. I trust all of us are in that place. And even if you're online or even in this room and you're searching for God, you don't even know if you believe, you know what? Some of you might even still believe that there might be a Holy Spirit. But if you're a believer, I know you know there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit exists. I get it. We get that. But I think our challenge is when we wake up every morning in a typical day and we have our quiet time or our devotion or whatever you call it. So often I feel like it's dominated by our relational connection to the Father. Amen. Good. Good. And our desire to be like Jesus and to follow him. Amen. Good. Good. You know? But I do think there's a relational lack with God's Spirit. There's something that is a block. Like I've experienced too many conversations among us. There's some type of relational uncomfortability with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to be able to necessarily change all of that in one time with you, but at least hopefully it'll awaken that. Let's not leave the Holy Spirit behind. Let's strive to engage relationally with the dwelling of God within us and allow God's Spirit to really transform us. You know, I read this. We need both the fire of the Spirit and the light of the Word. But many believers and churches have made this an either or rather than a both and by tending to be either Spirit-centered or Word-centered. Because again, I think, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures, like I've said many times, can sometimes be our kind of unofficial trinity, if you will. When honestly, the Word, if you want to get really technical, you can make a strong case that the Word is Jesus. The written Word, we call the Bible, right? And quite honestly, most of us, the written word, we only really read about a quarter of it. Because the Old Testament, for many of us, is like untouched. So the written word, we actually only read about a quarter of it for the most of the time. But I'm curious, you know what I mean? If I were Jordan or Nick, at this point of the service, like I will have had you download an app and I will have a real-time like survey ready for you. And the answers would be like flowing on the screen. But I'm not Jordan or Nick. So I just want to do an unofficial survey. All right? Hand raising. Amen? All right, here we go. There's no wrong answers. Don't be all nervous. I'm just curious. In your opinion. Your opinion. This is opinion. Would you say this congregation, how many of you feel like we are, if there are only two options? If there are only two options. How many of you think we are spirit-centered? Okay, cool. We got about seven. I was an English major. I was not very good at math. But if we only had two options, and seven people raised their hand, how many about word-centered? Yeah, okay. Again, this is just a survey. It's just opinion. But I think that's interesting. So I think we probably lean more towards written word, Bible. Again, that's what I'm trying to get at. Maybe more than a spirit-centered. Okay, that's an opinion. Here's another concept. Power without sound teaching is vulnerable to shallowness and lack of discernment. All right, in other words, you know those spirit-filled folks, I mean, they can get a little high emotional. Right? They can get up there. But man, they don't go deep. Right? And the lack of discernment because they're so passionate. The passions are flying. It's about the feelings. And so they don't necessarily spiritually discern things well. That's how sometimes we can look at things like that. Right? And on the flip side, you know, doctrine or just, you know, heavy script, you know, scripture-based, Bible-based, right? Without the power can be vulnerable to dryness and spiritual torpor. Now, I know torpor is a word. I had to use the man's quote because he said it. All it means is like dullness, lethargy, or like meh, blah. I don't know those kind of words. You know what I mean? That's what it can leave you with if you just are heavy scripture. And maybe, and I think maybe a lot of us can feel a dryness and not know why. Because doggone it, I've been reading my Bible and praying every day. You know what I mean? But the relational aspect of the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Spirit of the living God, is so lacking, and you might feel lethargy and not even realize where it comes from. So I'm just, in the time I have, I'm just going to talk a little bit about a couple of things. It's simple stuff. The Spirit's work within us. Character transformation. I think we like this. We get this pretty well. And just so you know, in the scripture, there's actually a couple of different kind of concepts in the scriptures when it talks about being filled with the Spirit. This word is used multiple times in scripture about filling. And it talks about something that's like a growing state of being. It's like, yeah, like character development, wisdom, even the fruit of the Spirit, these concepts. This is a different word, you know, plero or pleris. These are the words, and you'll see it in Acts. Especially in the book of Acts, all right? One of the places that you'll see is when, think about this in Acts chapter 6, when they're trying to figure out how in the world are we going to take care of this situation to feed all of these widows, right? And in Acts 6, in verse 2, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. These people were known to be. This wasn't just a one-time action. This was over time, the fruit of their lives. The people saw them, and they looked at them, and they said, you know what? This person exhibits spiritual qualities. Okay, that's what this word, and it's used multiple times in Scripture to denote this type of gradual state of being, and that is in Scripture. I think we're used to that. There's another word that it talks about, plural in other scriptures. Jesus, full of the Spirit. You might wait. So Jesus had a kind of, there's something in Jesus as a person that even he kind of had some maturing, so to speak. You can make that argument. I mean, right? At 7 years old, I don't know if Jesus is ready to die on the cross. I'm not sure. I'm just saying, I think the scriptures, it's so mysterious. It allows Jesus to kind of grow in stature among people. He learns in a sense and grows and matures. And even the Spirit takes him into the desert so he can be tested. And there's something going on where even Jesus, there's something happening where he's even maturing in a sense. Not the same as us, I believe, but in a sense the same. That's the beauty of how cool that is. Brothers and sisters, we already read that, Acts 6. Ephesians 5, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. This is the type of work that the Spirit can do within us. And probably my favorite passage, Galatians 5, when it talks about this. This is worth looking at. In Galatians chapter 5. I like using my paper Bible. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. And the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because there are spiritual forces at work in this world too. And they will transform you too if you give yourself over to them. And this is the kind of person that you will become. And so when people look at you, they might see full of this stuff. Because you've been formed by that. By the flesh, doing whatever you want. Fueled by the spiritual forces in this world that lean you away from God. This is the kind of culture you can become right here. This is the society you can become. This is the individual you can become. Paul says, we should walk by the Spirit. He says there's a difference because, see, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, guys, it takes time. It's not instantaneous. It takes time. Time takes time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, I read those and sometimes it just makes me almost want to weep because I don't see it almost anywhere in this world. And we're sitting here wondering, what's wrong with the world? Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Not only crucified it, not only nailed it to the doggone metaphorical cross, but sat there and waited for it to die too. Let it die. Let it die. Let it die. The flesh is not going to help you. If you belong to Christ, crucify all of that with its passions and desires. Yeah, the flesh has passions and desires, but so does the Holy Spirit. So does God's Spirit. Don't you think the Spirit groans and mourns about what's going on? The Spirit has passion. And sometimes we get all messed up because we think people overdo it. Well, yeah, they do. Some people do. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Gradual. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is what it means to allow the Spirit to work in you. You have a choice. You can either let this world work on you with what's going on out there. You can make a conscious decision to wake up every morning and say things like, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. That could be a great, and wait, and here's an idea. After you say something like that, you might want to just wait and listen. And just hold on. Because we just so running around, hurried and busy all the time, that we don't even sometimes just wait and listen for what might God be trying to say to us. So Jeff, are you saying God uses audible voices? I mean, if he wants to, yeah, he can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, that's not my experience necessarily. Maybe it'll be yours, but it's not necessarily mine. I'm kind of tired of putting the Holy Spirit in a box, quite honestly. I'd rather have a group of people, we got to rein stuff in than, well, the Spirit can't do anything. No, it ceased, it ended. It's no way. The Spirit can't do anything today because the Bible came, you know. I don't know about that, guys. I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't know, guys, on some level. I think that stoic mindset, we got to be a little careful that we don't let it seep in and we literally diffuse the power of the Spirit. And the reality is, man, the Spirit isn't just working on the inside just for you to be a good person so everybody can say how awesome you are. That's not only the way the Spirit works. When you open up the Bible, there's an outward working of the Spirit too. The Spirit wants us out there in the world to give us divine help so we can go out there and do stuff and be the type of people we can be to change what's going on. So it's not navel gazing. It's not the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be scared of what the Spirit can do. We should be inviting the Spirit. Let's just all pray, Spirit, show us who we need to be. Let's not go overboard, whatever that means, and let us not be lethargic, really, like all doctrine and no power. Like, I don't want to be that either. Like, I don't have all the answers, but my goodness, I think the Spirit's willing to do a lot more if we would acknowledge Him more. And there is another word for filling, which is interesting to me, especially in Acts. There's these moments where it's just temporary. You know, like before we said, you know, they're known to be full of the Spirit. It's a process thing, right? But this word is more in the moment. Peter, filled with the Spirit, spoke boldly. These moments, and he was able to say things like, oh, you think I just healed this lame guy? It's just by me? It's by the power of Jesus. You know, whoa. And that's when the Bible says, man, they noticed the courage of these guys. Wow, they noticed that he'd been with Jesus, but the scripture says he was filled. So there's also a word that talks about being empowered for like a service in the moment, to do something, to be, sometimes even God gives us gifts. And that's another thing. Please, in your time and your scripture, you should take the time to read passages like 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 7, Romans 12. These passages all say, interestingly, that each one of us has been given a gift. That's beautiful. That's powerful. And it says for the common good. So again, it's not just for you to stand up and have everybody clap at how awesome you are. It's for the common good. God's not just trying to get a bunch of individuals to live individually. He's creating a people, a new creation people. He's indwelled His Spirit. This is creation stuff. That's who we are. So He's given Eddie his own gift. Eddie has a gift that I don't have. Chris has a gift I don't have. That's beautiful. What if we all did it for the common good, just gave up ourselves, laid down our lives for the common good, and to be used so God can do something in this world instead of each individual saying, here, well, don't bother me. I got my own relationship with God. That's not it. The Spirit doesn't only form Christ in us, He sends Christ through us. It's not about navel gazing. A healthy view of God's Spirit. Let's give Him a little more leash, guys. I think there's more there. And I don't have, you know, I can't do it in one sermon, but I'm learning. I'm trying to grow myself. This is something Jesus said. I don't have all the time to get into the context, but man, I think He says something profound in my opinion when it comes to the Spirit. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Rivers of living water. Quantity of rivers. Living, like alive, not torpor, not lethargic. Will flow. It's going out, but it starts from within, but it goes out. And by this, He meant the Spirit, in case you were wondering. That's what we're talking about. He's using some language, but there's a depth of what He means. He's talking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. And we believe that when you do repent and you baptize, you are given the indwelling gift of the Spirit, which hadn't really happened at this moment. We believe that's what this scripture is really kind of getting at. I'm sure there are other interpretations. This is the one we're rolling with. At least I am, anyway. Because people got all their thoughts, you know, email me, it's cool. But the point is, the Spirit's inner working produces an overflowing. It's not navel gazing. It's not about individuals looking too much, and they won't go out and share their faith. They won't go out and do Bible studies with people because we're so focused on the spiritual formation stuff. I want that. I want to invite God's Spirit to mold me, shape me, change me, sculpt whatever you need to sculpt in me so that I can have such a dynamic relationship with You. You've dwelt within me through Your Spirit. I have a relationship with Your Spirit. I communicate with Your Spirit. I love God's Word, written words. Yes, I always will. And there's the Holy Spirit even helps me, I think, understand Him. I love being with God's people, the church. I love praying to the Father. I love talking about Jesus and His example. I love it. But I want to love talking to you about what the Spirit is doing in your life. And I think we lack that. I think we lack that. Spiritual formation is not about you. It's about God working through you to help others. And I hope one day we can be more comfortable when somebody wants to talk about what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives. Let's be comfortable instead of suspicious. Let's at least work on that. And that's it. That's all I have to say today. And we are going to have a, I was just gonna. So we're gonna pray to the Lord, and we're gonna slow down from this crazy, crazy week. We're not gonna hurry right now. We're gonna take a moment, we're gonna pray, and think about, reflect on Jesus, who He is, what you've heard, what you've sung, the prayer John offered, being together, who you met in the fellowship to. Just take a minute and stop. Let's let the monkeys jumping around in your mind, just tell them to slow down. And let's take the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us. We want to be transformed, not by our striving or our good intentions. We want to be transformed by Your Holy Spirit. And we want Him to bear His fruit in each one of us so that it will overflow into this world. And people will take note that we are the people of Jesus.
who walk in His Spirit. We stay in step with His Spirit because we actually listen to His Spirit and actually have a relationship with the Spirit of Jesus. So help us, help us, help us, God. And we remember Jesus. We remember that He is the one who gives us something that we can drink that gives us life. And we remember that Jesus suffered for us and gave His life for us so generously. And we know that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, He did not stay in that tomb but walked out. So that we know whenever our last day comes, there will come a time when we're going to walk out of whatever we had, funeral, cremation, who knows, whatever. We're going to get out, and we have faith. We believe that we will have newness of life even after we breathe our last breath, because Jesus showed us the way. So we are His people. We are not living unto our own selves. We are here with each other. And when we take this bread, we believe that is the body of Jesus that we share together, gladly, with hope, hopeful expectation. We drink this juice as His blood we know He shed, real blood, painful. But when we take it into our bodies, we are proclaiming that we don't believe that's the end, and He's coming back. And there will be no more mass shootings when He comes back. There will be no more parents fearfully dropping their kids off at schools. Praying something won't happen. We won't have that anymore. And I just pray that we can live that type of life now to impact this world in the name of Jesus, because we love Jesus and we remember Jesus right now. And we remember that we're His people and we are to stay in step with His Spirit as we leave here today. It's in His name we pray. Amen.